the will of God. You want to be in the will of God. Truthfully, now, we be honest. How many have ever gotten out of the will of God? We probably all, at some point or another, have slipped out of the will of God. I tell you what I want you to do this morning. I want you to draw a circle around yourself, all right? Draw a circle around yourself. Are you doing that? Draw a circle around yourself. Tell me, are you in the center of God's will? Are you on the peripheral of God's will? Are you outside of God's will for you? Are you in the direct center of the will of God? There's no place like being in the direct center of the will of God. And you know, sometimes we may not be in rebellion toward God, but we may not be in the center of the will of God. Hey, will you answer this question? Will you answer this question? Are you in the center of the will of God? The message today, God changed my heart yesterday, so pray for me that this is the message He wanted today. In the center of God's will. In the center of God's will. You know, in order to be in the center of God's will, we've got to hear the Lord speak to us. Can you hear the Lord speak to you? Through His Word, by His Spirit? Speaking of hearing Him speak to us, I heard about a man that was in a church setting. And he had requested prayer from the people in the church. He said, I need y'all to pray for me. And they said, all right, what do you need us to pray for you about? He said, I need you to pray for me about my hearing. And so everybody gathered around this man. Pastor gathered around him. People gathered around him. They put their hands on this man, began to pray fervently. God, please bless this man in his hearing. And they prayed for 15 minutes. Finally, when they finished, they said, amen. And the pastor asked the man, said, well, how's your hearing? The man said, I don't know. It's not until Thursday. Not till Thursday. Hello. Anyway, are you in the center of God's will? Can you hear God speak to you? We've got to learn to listen to the Lord and praise the Lord. He wants to speak to us. Here's where we're going in the message. Here's where we're going in the message. I want you to listen carefully today. God's going to encourage you, but God's also going to challenge you. There are three steps backwards that take us out of the will of God. Three steps backwards that can easily take us out of the will of God, but there are three steps forward that'll bring us back into the center of the will of God. I want you to take your Bibles and turn me, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. The book of Numbers, chapter 22. I've never preached from this text, believe it or not. Made reference to it, but never preached from it in all these years. But the Lord led me to go back to this passage of Scripture. You're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. In fact, in the Scripture, there's three main characters. One's named Balak, the other's named Balaam. And then there is the donkey. Hello. And so in the book of Numbers, chapter 22, by the way of background, as we dive into the text, I love the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? You believe God's got a word for you today? I'm convinced the Lord's got a word for all of us today, and I want to get a little closer to the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you something? Can I be honest with you? Have you ever gotten out of the will of God? Can I tell you what God dealt with me about? I was thinking about it last night on the way home. Left here at about 10:30 last night and was going home and thinking about, praying about the message, and I remember the Lord dealt with me. I'm just sharing my personal experience, all right? The Lord may not deal with you about certain things, but God dealt with me about this thing. Years ago, I was watching too much television, and it was really not good for me at the time, but I didn't see anything bad, but yet it just wasn't God's will for me at the time. And the Lord dealt with me about that thing. I excused it, and I said, well, God, it's not a big deal, and you know, but anyway, I'm just, and then the Lord led me to cut back. The Lord led me to wean from that because He wanted me to spend time with Him instead of that. So I realized I was slipping out of the center of the will of God. Other things were consuming my mind. Other things were distracting me from my personal relationship with Him. And so I said, Lord, finally, God gave me the grace to get back to where I should have been to begin with. I don't know what God may be dealing with you about today. It might not be a bad thing, but it might be something that's not the best. How many believe that God's got what's best for us? How many believe that the Lord loves us? How many believe that God's got a great plan and a purpose for your life? And how many believe that if we can just just yield and surrender and obey the Lord, as we'll see in a little while, then we'll begin to experience God's presence and power in a way that we've never experienced it before. So I want to encourage you today, where are you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus? We turn to the book of Numbers chapter 22, and we're very well aware of the fact that children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt. They had been in bondage for 430 years, and God raised up a man by the name of Moses. And next thing you know, they're wandering to the promised land. God gave this promise to Abraham and to his descendants, and they hadn't arrived yet. And we pick up in this one of the books of the Pentateuch or the Torah called the book of Numbers. And if you want to find a technical word for the book of Numbers, Genesis is creation, Exodus redemption, and Leviticus purification. We come to Numbers direction. God is leading his people. I said all that to say, look at Numbers 22, and let's stand together and read the wonderful word of God. If you're able, let's stand together as we read the wonderful living word of God. In the book of Numbers chapter 22, and here's what God's word has to say to us today. I'm so thankful to God you're here, and I'm so thankful to God the Holy Spirit of God is here to change us, to lead us, to encourage us. Verse number 1 in Numbers 22. We may take time to read a lengthy portion of the scripture, so hang with us. Verse 1, are you there? Say amen if you're there. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. Now get in mind, children of Israel, they're wandering. Now all of a sudden they're a certain place. You got to get the setting in your mind or else you won't make a whole lot of sense. Notice verse 2. And Balak, let's say that name together. Balak, say it again. Balak. One more time. Balak. Very good. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. This man named Balak, he's not a good king. He's a pagan king, all right? But he has already taken notice of Israel and God's mighty hand. Can I tell you something? The lost world will recognize a Christian. They'll recognize there's something different about you. And they'll say, man, there's something different about you. What you got, I don't have and I won't. I had a man to tell me that just yesterday. And so this king named Balak, he noticed there was something vastly different about the children of Israel, about their God. All right, here we go. Verse number 3. And Moab, that's a place, by the way, Moab is a descendant of Lot. Lot and his daughter had committed incest, and therefore they had their offspring called the Moabites. So we're going to see a couple of countries. Don't get too entangled with this, but just simply to understand the Moabites. All right, verse number 3. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was distressed because the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian. Now we're introduced to a second group. Not only the Moabites, but now the Midianites. Let's say that together. Midianites. Say it one more time. Midianites, the Moabites, the Midianites. All right, these are the enemies of Israel. All right, keep reading. Verse number 4. And the Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, here's that man again, that king, the bad king. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam. Let's say that name together. Balaam. One more time. Balaam. Why are we doing this? Because this gets us in our mind. It sets the stage for our study this morning. And so he sent messengers. Who sent messengers? Balak, this king. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is of the river of the land of the children of Israel, to call him, saying, behold, there's a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Here's a man. Here's a king named Balak. Here's his people, the Moabites. They join with the Midianites. And now they're going. This king wants to go talk with this man named Balaam. Balaam is the son of Beor. Now, if you do a Bible study, I'll just say this in passing because I want to know personally. The daddy of Balaam was a Edomite. Now that's important because do you know what the Edomites are presently in present day? The descendants of Esau. Do you know what the descendants of Esau are now? The Palestinians. Hello. All right. You see the train of thought throughout the scripture, right? Here we go. We're picking back up in verse number 5. He sent messengers therefore, that is King Balak, therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people that cover the face of the earth. They've come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Look at verse 6. Come now, therefore, he's asking Balaam to come, all right? The king, Balak, is asking Balaam to come. Verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Who's he talking about? Balak wants Balaam to curse the children of Israel. If you got it, say amen. All right, good, good, good. Notice verse 6 again. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I would that be whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. This Balaam is a so-called prophet, all right? And some scholars say he was a real prophet of God. Others say no, he was a false prophet. Matter of fact, I look over there at Peter, and I know that he's a prophet because Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16 says that Balaam was a prophet. Now, what kind of prophet? Was he a soothsayer? Was he a false prophet? You'll be the judge in just a little while. But keep reading now, because who he curses are cursed, but who he blesses is blessed. Now you see why the king wanted him to come. All right, look at verse number 7. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. You get the picture. He sent out messengers, now they come to Balaam. By the way, that's about 400 miles, probably about the distance they travel. So they're traveling a good way. They want to get the word to Balaam, come and help us and curse these Israelite people. And then now look at verse 8. And he said unto them, that is Balaam said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Notice, he said, why don't you just spend a night? And we'll find out later tomorrow if God's going to lead me to do this or not. Keep reading. Verse number 9. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam answered unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, hath sent me unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Look at verse 12. Underline it, note it. We're coming back to it in a moment. Verse 12. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into the land, your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak. They went back to their king. Balaam tells them, nope, God don't want me to go. Go back to Balak. And so they do. Verse 14 again. And the princes, look at verse 14 again. And the princes of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. But look what happens. We're talking about the will of God. We're talking about being in the center of the will of God. Look what happens in verse number 15. And Balak sent yet again. He didn't give up. He wanted Balaam to come. He sent again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thou, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, that is the king of Midian, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. He wanted Balaam to come. You get the picture. And then verse 17, for I will promote thee with under very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Balak is desperate. He wants Balaam to come. He's willing to give him money to come. Are y'all with me? Say amen if you're with me. All right, good. And then notice verse 18. And Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and, help me out somebody, gold. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less on more. Give me more money and I'll do it, maybe. All right, so let's see what happens. Verse 19. Now, therefore, I pray you tarry also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Now, look at this verse 20. Boy, it's really interesting here. And God came unto Balaam at night. God had already told him not to go. You remember back there in verse number 12. But look, Balaam's persistent. Balaam wants to go. The king of Balak is pressuring him. He's giving him money. Man, what's he going to do? The will of God. Watch this, verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto them, thou shalt not do. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. Now look at verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now as he was riding upon his ass and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and a sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But look at verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass, his donkey, saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot. Don't you know that hurt? Against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. Where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. Verse 27. And when the ass, the donkey, saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth. Watch this. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, his donkey. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou smitest me these three times? Notice the donkey could count too. Not only could the donkey talk, but the donkey could count. Do you get that? Three times. One, two, three. Three strikes and you're out. Verse 29. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would that were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. He's ready to kill his faithful, loyal, dependable donkey. Verse 30. The ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was in thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, no. That is, I've been a faithful, loyal, dependable donkey up until now. We're going to stop right there. We're going to pray. Develop the account of this wonderful biblical document and see what God says to us. All right, Father? Thank you, the word speaks to my heart. We pray now that you will zero in on us. You know where we're at, Lord. We can't hide from you, Father. You know all about us. God, I want to be in the center of your will no matter what. Oh, God, there's no place like being right with you. In times I've not been right with you, and you've put things in my way to get me back where I ought to be. And we pray now in the name of Jesus, Father God, you'll get us all back in the center of your will, watching you, yielding to you, and watching you have your will and way with us, doing great things and conforming us to your image. And we thank you now and praise you for the blood of the Lamb, the power of the cross, and Satan being overcome. Lord, be glorified today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for so long. Three steps backwards to get out of the will of God. Three steps backwards, what God showed me, to get out of the will of God. We're going to see that very clearly, but thank God we're not going to stop there, because there's three steps forward to get back in the center of the will of God. Notice three steps backwards in the account that took Balaam. Now, by the way, let me just back up before I give you that and simply say this. The Lord showed me this about this account. Balak is a picture of Satan. Balak is a picture of the devil. Balak, that old king, wanted Balaam to come and curse the people of God. You know, the devil is mean, and the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And the devil would love to see your testimony wrecked and ruined. And the enemy, if he can't deceive you into rejecting Jesus and spending eternity in hell, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll begin to pull on you, begin to try to lure you away, try to make you compromise the truth of God's word and those things you know that are pleasing to the Lord. All right? But number two, not only is Balak a picture of the devil, but Balaam is a picture of a backslidden Christian. So many of God's people today, so many of us, if we're not careful, we are not necessarily where we ought to be with the Lord. I mean, the world, the flesh, the devil, man, everything's pulling on us all the time. And so Balaam is a picture of how easy this is for you and me to just slip a little bit. You know, not a blatant sin, not gross immorality, but just slip a little bit. Just get kind of, cold and indifferent. You know what I mean? But number three, the donkey in the story is a picture of the Holy Spirit. How the Spirit of God, aren't you glad the Spirit of God brings us back in the center of God's will? Oh, yes, he does. All right, here's the three steps the Lord showed me to get out of the center of the will of God. Number one, see if you agree with me. You ready for it? Number one, when God tells you to do something, he expects you to do it. When God tells you to do something, he expects you to do it. Question, what's God telling you to do these days? What's God telling you to do? I'm not talking about telling you to go preach into India and China and Africa, but is God telling you to talk to your neighbor about his love? Is God telling you that he wants you to spend a little bit more time with him than the television like he did me? Is God telling you that he wants you to start loving people a little bit more and stop being so critical? What's God saying? Is God telling you today that you've had a bad attitude? My soul, we all get bad attitudes at times. Have you been negative? Have you been praising the Lord? What's God saying to you today? There's some things that if we're not careful, we can begin to slip and not be in the center of God's will, enjoying his presence and his peace. Number one, when God tells you to do something, he expects you to do it. We'll see that very clearly in verse 12 and following up to verse number 20 and 21. Then secondly, here's what the second step to get out of the center of God's will is this, namely, when God tells you to do something, he expects you to do it. He expects me to do it. But if we don't, are you ready for this? I said, are you ready for this? Are you really ready for what I'm fixing to say? If we don't obey God when God tells us to do something, you know what he'll do? He'll put roadblocks in our path. He will put roadblocks in our path. He'll do it. How many believe that God has our best interest in mind? Oh, yeah, he does. How many believe that God can do greater things in your life than you've ever dreamed? He'll take you places you've never been. He'll do things you can't do of your own. Therefore, he's a Father, a Heavenly Father that loves us, that knows us, that has our very best in mind. We can trust him. We can trust him. And so, number two, God will begin to put roadblocks in your path. Number three, not only will he put roadblocks in your path, but number three, when we don't do what God tells us to do, we can expect he'll put roadblocks in our path. But then number three, when we don't obey God and do what he tells us, roadblocks. And then watch this. When we get out of the will of God, we need to not take it out on others around us. I can't hear you. You know exactly where I'm going with this. Have you ever been around somebody that's just mean and ugly and you wonder what's wrong with them? Don't look at your neighbor, all right? Have you ever wondered that? So you said, what in the world's wrong with you? Hey, when you get out of the will of God, buddy, it's a bad feeling. And it's a terrible, and people don't want to be around you. They can see there's something wrong with her. She's got an attitude. He's got an attitude. What's wrong with him? You get out of God's will, and I want you to know we begin to take it out on people around us just like Balaam did. All right? Let's go with that. All right? Number one, when God tells us to do something, he expects us to do it. Go back to the count. All right? You ready to go back to the count? Here it is. Here's a king named, what's his name? Help me out. What's his name? Good, good, good. His name is Balak. Let's say it together. Balak. I just want to review what we've just read. And then this king of Moab, the Israelites, he's heard that they're a mighty force. He's heard their God is a different God. He's a living God. And he's scared. He's afraid of the children. They're passing through the land. And he says, hey, I don't know if I should take a chance and letting them come through here or not. Let's go get Balaam. Balaam's a prophet. I've heard about Balaam. And Balaam, what he curses is cursed. And what he blesses is blessed. Hey, Balaam, will you come on over and curse these people? And so Balak, the king of Moab, he gets his messenger and he said, y'all go over there. Get Balaam. Get him as quick as you can. Tell him to come over here. And so there they go. Can you see him? I can see him in my mind's eye. Here comes Balaam. Here comes Balak's messengers. They're coming to Balaam. And they say, hey, King Balak, he wants you to come and curse the people, these Israelites. Balaam says, you know, I don't know if I can go or not. He said, but Balaam says, why don't y'all just spend the night here, lodge here for a little while? And then I'll let you know. I'm going to talk to the Lord about it. By the way, if you could fast forward, you'd find out that Moses and the children of Israel take vengeance on Balaam and he's killed. Numbers chapter 31. I'm fast forwarding, but don't let that hang you up. Let's go back to what God's saying to us today about the center of the will of God. Furthermore, Balaam indoctrinated the people of God that they'd commit immorality and thus sin against God. You see, the devil's mean and ugly, and you can read that in the book of Revelation chapter 2, the doctrine of Balaam, but I'm not going there right now. I just simply wanted to tell you there's more to Balaam than what we're going to look at this morning, all right? You can do a study on your own, but let's go back to the count. Here's Balaam. He's asked, come on and go. Will you go with us? Well, I got to talk to God about it. How many believe that's a good idea to talk to God about it? And so God says, after they spend the night, he talks with the Lord about it, and God says, don't go. Do not go. When God tells you not to do something, he expects you not to do it. You agree with me? He expects you. What's God telling you not to do? Who is that crowd? That friends that God's, listen to me, young people, that's not a good influence for you. They're not good friends. They're not going to build you up. They're going to tear you down. God said, you need to come apart. Still pray for them, yes. Still befriend them, yes. And even adults. But wait a minute, be careful. Because he that walks with wise men should be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Wait a minute, here comes Balaam. We're not going. Look at verse number 12 of the text. Verse 12 of chapter 22. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. How many believe that the people of God, the Israelites, are blessed? God said it. I didn't say it. God said that he's not finished with Israel yet. I know they'll die and go to hell if they don't trust Jesus, just like you and me, if they don't repent. But wait a minute. Romans 9, 10, 11 tells us that God's not finished with them yet. And you can read in the Old Testament how God made a covenant with Abraham and the Davidic covenant, the Lamb covenant, the new covenant. And that will eventually be fulfilled literally on the millennial reign. Then Israel, according to Paul in Romans, will turn to Jesus and be saved, those that turn and trust him. But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And so Balaam is told not to go. Well, what happens? Here comes the money, gold and silver. How many believe that money talks? Money talks. It says goodbye. Can I get a witness? It says goodbye. That's what it says. But Balaam, he's compromising. He's put in a situation. What kind of decision have you got to make this week that it's going to be easy to compromise? Can you hear me? What kind of decision have you got to make today, tomorrow, this week? You will be confronted with a decision. What kind of decision are you going to make? Is it going to say, God, I want to be in the center of your will? Or, Lord, I know you permit me to do this. Do you know in this account that Balaam went to God not one time, but if we read here a little bit later, after he got a second dose of money, gold and silver, he goes to God. Have you ever done this? He goes to God and says, all right, Lord, can I go now? God had already told him not to go. Now can I go? Look at verse, if you don't believe me, look over here in verse 18. And Balaam answered, 18. and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray thee, tarry also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. What are we saying? We're saying this. God tells you to do something. He expects you to do it. He expects you to do it. But watch this. The second step to get out of the will of God is this. When we don't obey the Lord, and often we don't obey the Lord. There's some of us today. God's been dealing with you about some stuff. God's been dealing about that anger. God's been dealing with you about that bitter heart. God's been dealing with you about that resentment you've had in a long time. God's been dealing with you about that thing of forgiving that person. God's been dealing with you about praying for that person. God's been dealing with us about letting him have his way with us. When we don't, God's been dealing with us about praising him. We come to the house of God oftentimes and we're tired. Oftentimes we're distracted. I am, you are, we all are. And often we don't, watch this, we don't give God glory. He said we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Tell me, have you come to church today with praise? Have you come to church today to say, God, you've been good to me, I want to praise you today? How many are going to really, really, really tap in to saying, Lord, you are good. I'm going to bless you whether anybody else does or not. See, often we grieve the Spirit of God if we're not careful. We shut down. We're in our own little world. We hadn't prepared our heart. Listen, we hadn't prepared our heart to worship the living God. And so, the Lord's saying, hey, get back in my will. You know what God does when we don't obey him? He puts roadblocks in our way. Look at Balaam. Watch him now. He's going back over to do business. He's got money in his pocket, gold and silver. I imagine he's on that faithful donkey of his. I'm picturing him in my mind. He's on that faithful donkey. Come on, come on, come on. He's thinking about, what can I spend this money on? How many have ever come across some money and you stopped and thought, well, what can I spend this money on? Y'all are all broke, I can tell. Just kidding. There he is. God puts a roadblock in his way. They're riding on that donkey. And watch. They're riding in the way. All of a sudden, an angel appears with a sword in his hand. And that angel stands in the gap as Balaam and his donkey are coming. That angel's got a sword in his hand. Balaam's eyes are blind. He can't see it. But his donkey sees the angel with a sword in his hand. You know what the donkey does? He does what most sensible, you know, the donkey was smarter than Balaam. Hello. And he heads out to the field. He veers off the path. Balaam says, I can hear him now. What are you doing? Starts beating on that donkey. Look at him. He's mad. The donkey, if he only knew. Sometimes we get mad at the Holy Spirit. God's saying, hey, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go there. I'm glad God knows what's down the road. Can I get somebody to say amen? I'm glad that God knows the danger down the road. And if we're led by the Spirit, praise God. God will keep us from some pitfalls. God will keep us by the end of the night. But wait a minute. They get back on the pit. They get back on the trail. Here's Balaam and his donkey. They're heading out. All of a sudden, that angel appears again with a sword drawn in his hand. And Balaam is riding on that donkey. You know what the donkey does? There's walls on both sides. The donkey runs into the wall. How many have ever been on a horse and a horse ran into a tree and crushed your foot? You know what I'm talking about? I've done that before. What? The donkey is not going far. Balaam gets that whip out again. Why you don't obey me? God will put roadblocks in your way when we get out of his will. And then finally,
I can see Balaam, get over here, and ghost, you're not doing right today. He's got that money in his pocket. He's thinking about what he's going to spend it on. Gold and silver. Oh boy, I can't wait to get over there to King Balak. I've got riches now. I know what I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy me a new donkey. And then the donkey gets back on the rail, and the sword of the angel stands in the way again. You know what that donkey does? Rolls over, falls down. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, the donkey's back, amen? He fell down. He wouldn't go any further. Balaam gets out that whip again. You're not doing right, donkey. What are you doing? God allows that donkey to open its mouth. You know what that faithful, dependable donkey says to Balaam? I'm paraphrasing. He said, I've been faithful all this time, haven't I? Yes. How many believe an animal can speak? An animal can speak if God tells it to speak. If God can create the heaven and the earth, if the Lord can cause an axe head to swim, if the Lord can take a woman without a man and have a baby, namely Jesus, with Mary, surely this is not too hard. He can cause the sun to stand still, as he did in the days of Joshua. He can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the depths of the sea. Why? He can walk on the water. He created the water. I'm telling the earth is the Lord's. And God allowed this donkey to speak. Did you hear about the talking parrot? Speaking of animals speaking. There's a talking parrot. And this lady walked by the pet store every day, and that talking parrot would say this, you sure are ugly. The lady was offended. What? Ugly? Next day she'd walk by, and that parrot would say, you sure are ugly. She just got her feathers ruffled. She couldn't believe, how dare this parrot tell me that I'm ugly? Every day for a solid week, the parrot said, you are ugly. Finally, she said, I'm going to talk with your boss about this. I'm going to talk with your owner about this. And this is going to correct the problem. And so the lady went and talked with the boss about it. The next day, the lady came walking by. The parrot looked at her. She looked at the parrot. And the parrot said, you know what? Yes, animals talk. And in this case, Balaam's donkey talked and said, I've been a faithful. But watch this. How do we get out of the will of God? I'll tell you three steps. Number one, when we don't obey God, we can expect. He expects us to obey him when he tells us to do something. When we turn a deaf ear, when we excuse our lifestyle, when we love other things more than God, put other things, wait a minute, we put other things before Jesus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We put family before Jesus. We put pleasure before Jesus. We can do that, you know, and we do that often. Hello. And the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. But wait a minute. I want to tell you the good news. Not only how do we take three steps downward, backwards, out of the will of God, three steps forward to get back in the will of God. How many want to get back in the will of God? Look at old Balaam. Balaam, his eyes have been closed. But all of a sudden, God opens his eyes. Look at the text, verse 30. Look at the text. And here's what I want you to remember. How do we get back in the will of God? Step one, our eyes have to be open. Step two, we need a heart change. Yep, a change of heart. Step three, we need to follow through what God tells us to do. That's how we get back in the center of the will of God. Step one, our eyes have to be open. Balaam's eyes were closed. Step two, we need a change of heart. Balaam has got to have a change of heart. Step three, we got to follow through what God tells us to do. Look at verse 30 of the text. The ass said unto Balaam, am I not that ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? That is, I've been faithful. Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Look at verse 31. And then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. Wow. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and the sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head, fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before thee. Before me. Verse 33. And the ass saw me, said the angel, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. The angel said, it'd have been over, Balaam, for you. How you beat that animal? By the way, let me just pause there to say that's the third step in getting out of the center of the will of God. When we don't obey God, God expects us to. We can expect roadblocks, but watch this. Often we try to take it out on other people when we're out of the will of God. Don't we? Well, she wasn't done this. He wasn't done this. That's what Balaam was doing, taking it out of his donkey. Balaam was out of the will of God. And the angel said, I would have killed you, Balaam. I'd have slain you and spared your donkey. He blamed it on the donkey. Who are you blaming on today? Well, I wouldn't be the way I was with my grandmother. I spent 3 hours or more yesterday with a young couple, a young man, a young teenager. It was an awkward situation. Anyway, long story short, this teenager got in some trouble, and I didn't even know him. All of a sudden, he showed up, and next thing you know, I'm over at the house talking with the daddy. And the young man has to assume responsibility, 17 years old. But wait a minute, my time's going up, because I want to finish by saying this. Our eyes have to be open, like Balaam's. Our heart needs to be changed. Look at verse number 34. Look at verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, Help me out, somebody. Sin. There it is. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Well, glory. Verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the prince to Balaam. Then if you read the further part of this chapter, you'll see verse 38 says, look at verse 38, and Balaam said unto Balak, he got before this king. Finally, after he had a heart change, after he had his eyes open, after he was willing to follow through with the will of God, he said to Balaam, look to Balak, verse 38, and Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am coming to thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my heart, that shall I speak. He did not curse the people. Several lessons we can learn from this account. Number one, you ready for these? This is what the Lord spoke to my heart about. Number one, we got to learn to listen to God. We got to learn to listen to the Lord. You agree with me? We got to learn to listen to the Lord. God's speaking to us right now. Through his word, by his spirit. We got to learn to listen to the Lord, number one. Number two, not only learn to listen to the Lord, we've got to learn to be led by the Lord. What's God telling you today? Where's God leading you today? We've got to learn to be led by the Lord, not led by our flesh, not led by what we want to do, but led by the Lord. And number one, we got to learn to listen to the Lord. Are you listening to God? Nah, you shut him out. Number two, we got to learn to, some of you listening saying, God, speak to me. What do you want me to do? Oh, bless his holy name. Then we need to learn how to be led of the Lord. And then third, we need to learn to love the Lord. Number four, the fourth lesson from this text is not only do we need to learn to listen to the Lord, not only do we need to learn to be led by the Lord, not only do we need to learn to love the Lord, we need to learn to live by and through the Lord. It's all about you, Lord. You're the one that gives me the grace to know what to do. Many are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. I want to close on this. Can I tell you all this testimony? God is so good. Has God been good to you? God sure been good to me. Has God been good to you? Has the Lord blessed you? Has the Lord blessed your family? Has the Lord blessed you with health? And is God blessing you? Yes, 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 yes. I'm not saying everything's going perfect, but I'm saying this. Can I tell you what happened this week? Thursday night, we had a staff meeting. We met right back there in the kitchen. Start at 6:30. And in the meeting, like we always do, in other meetings, I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible. As a pastor of the church, God's got me under burden about many things. One of the things I've been so encouraged by is how the Lord, by faith, the Lord has let us as a church step out and call a minister of education, administration. My soul, things are happening and will happen more and more. It's a glorious, good day, new day. However, at the same time, it's a step of faith. As far as the salary and all that, I know God's good, but here's what I'm saying. On our meeting, the Lord had me to just have our printout. Today we'll meet, our finance team will meet, and we'll look at it. And you know, right or wrong, how many got a checkbook? Let me see your hand. And you look at that thing. You got to balance it, right? Amen. You got to look at that thing and monitor, da, da, da. Well, anyway, I was praying, and I know we've had some expenses here recently, and I asked the staff of Brother Boyd and Katie and Josh and Bubba, hey, let's pray, God, to meet the needs. And I know you're praying. I'm just telling y'all the truth. I'm being honest with you, okay, transparent. I've been under the burden about this thing. I said, God, when you get the blessing, I know the devil's going to try to keep the work of God from going forward. And Lord, I'm trusting you, believing you. And God is refining and working in my own heart life. Well, that was Thursday night. Most everybody left at a decent time. Bubba and I stayed at 3:30 in the morning out of the back door talking and praying. How many know Brother Pastor is the, what we call that for the Valentine's? Talker Award. It's on my refrigerator. The Talker Award. Somebody else should have won it, but I won it. Hello. Anyway, we talked to about 3:30. Praying and under burden. Left, went home, got a couple hours rest, and Friday morning, got a telephone call. You ready to get blessed? I said, are you ready to get blessed? Friday afternoon, was at the church. A man called. He said, I need to see you, talk with you. I said, all right. He came up to the church. And he said, I'm the executor of Joyce Cooper's estate. He reached in his pocket and he pulled out a check. He said, Joyce Cooper wanted New Rocky Creek Baptist Church to have this. I looked at the check, $20,000.
Woo! Glory! Woo! Glory! Woo! Glory! Isn't God good? I want you to know, Sister Joyce, she had a vision. And praise God. To God be the glory. She believed in the work of God. It just makes me want to weep and say, Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus, to keep running the race. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Praise God. She being dead yet still speaketh. Can I get an amen? Let's stand together. Hallelujah.